My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect Brahmins, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Material elevation to life as a Brahmin, demigod, rishi, and so on are not causes for developing love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadareva samantavya samyag vyafasitohisa. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. Other processes may be helpful, but if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. Dhammasvanusthitapumsam vishvakshenikatasuya natpadayad yadi ratim shama evi kevalam. Duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavatam 1:28. The test of perfection is one's unalloyed devotion to the Lord. So verse again. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect Brahmins, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Om Agyana Timrandasya Agyananyanan Shalakya Chakshura Maditam Yenitasmaya Sri Gurave Namah. So, Prahlad Maharaj has instructed his friends here, and he's giving great advice to everybody. So, he says that without becoming a devotee of the Lord, you cannot please the Lord, and therefore you cannot be happy. So, of course, the Brahmins are glorified in many places in the Vedas, even by Krishna himself in his different forms. There's a verse in the... in the instructions of Prithu, he's saying that he begs the blessings of the Brahmins because the Brahmins' only wealth is their good behavior, and that if one gets the blessings of the Brahmins, then he gets all the wealth of the world. By carrying the dust of the feet of the Brahmins, one actually becomes very fortunate. And then Rishabhdev Maharaj, he glorified the Brahmins so much in the fifth canto and many other places too. So the Brahmins are the representatives of the Lord. But unless they're devotees, then they may have all the 12 brahminical qualifications, which is another verse by Prahlad Maharaj, where he says that a Brahmin has 12 qualifications, but without being a devotee of the Lord, then they're not very beneficial. So being a Brahmin is not necessarily a sign that one is dear to Krishna. But one could be a Sudra, and one could be dear to Krishna. There's so many examples. We have the example in Chaitanya Leela of Kolavet Sridhar. Kolavet Sridhar, he was a simple person. He wasn't a Brahmin, but he would make money selling banana cups and leaves and things. But he was very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. There's so many examples. So we want to become Brahmins. We get Brahminical initiation. Prabhupada said that means we have the opportunity to become Brahmins. But it's not about being a Brahmin, because as we know, in India there are so many Brahmins and they're not devotees. Some of them, it says actually, that in the Kali Yuga, that demons will appear in the family of Brahmins. Demons will be Brahmins. So it's not about being a Brahmin, but at the same time, we want to develop the Brahminical qualifications, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercifulness, knowledge, austerity, learning, forgiveness. These are very important qualities. So a devotee has to have these. A devotee has to have all these qualifications. And then it's not necessarily by being a great saint, although generally a saint is considered to be a great personality, but saints are not necessarily great devotees of the Lord. Now, I believe they're going to canonize Pope Paul, the last pope. They're going to make him into a saint, from what I heard. So he'll be Saint Paul. So he's a saint, but we've probably heard that he liked to eat veal, baby cows. So he wasn't really much of a saint. And then, of course, Mother Teresa, I've heard that she's going to be canonized too. So she was, we could say she was a saintly person, but she wasn't really a devotee of Krishna. I don't know what she ate. Maybe she was a vegetarian. I don't really know. She wasn't a vegetarian. She used to feed people meat. Well, there we are. So, you know, one may be a saint by ordinary estimation, but without becoming a devotee of the Lord, there's no benefit. So, we have this opportunity to become devotees, and nobody should think they're a devotee, because we're trying to be devotees. Because to become actually devoted is a very advanced platform, and we are simply beginners on the path. We're trying to become devotees. And if we can become devotees, then Krishna will be very happy, because Krishna is very merciful to devotees. There's a verse in the Nectar of Devotion which explains how Krishna is known as Purushottama, the greatest of all persons. And he is very kindly disposed to his devotees. And he doesn't take an offense very, very seriously. But even if an envious person blasphemes the Lord, he is not inclined to get angry. He doesn't care. But if somebody renders a little bit of service to him, then he is very happy. So if we can develop love for Krishna, then Krishna is very happy. Because Krishna, and also Krishna is controlled by love. In another verse in the Nectar of Devotion, it says that just as the ocean is deep and the sun is very warm and the moon is very cool and the saints are always very grave, the Lord is controlled by love. So, not that we're trying to control the Lord, but he becomes subservient to the devotee's love. So we're trying to develop love, because that is what makes us happy. It is said that the greatest desire for every living entity is to be loved and to love. Of course, in the material world, we see this exemplified in the attachment for mundane love affairs. Mundane. Everybody, even reading about love affairs, there's so many bestsellers written by old ladies who are talking about love affairs and, you know. So, love is often misunderstood, and everybody is trying to love somebody. But in spiritual life, we're trying to love Krishna because we know that Krishna's the most lovable person, because Krishna, he is the only one that can really reciprocate with us in the proper way. So anybody who is a devotee, they should be very happy to be a devotee. And Prabhupada said one time that if you're not happy, it means you're not a devotee. So everybody better be happy. Because if you know that Krishna's God, and you know what a wonderful person Krishna is, then you can always be happy in any condition. So there's a nice verse, Bhagavat Uri Vikramangasaka Nakamani Chaka Narasatape, means that one who worships the lotus feet of the Lord, the Lord's lotus feet have actually performed innumerable heroic activities. And the nails on the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord are like brilliant gems that are like the soothing moonshine after the scorching heat of the summer sun. So if you worship the lotus feet of Krishna, then the blazing fire of material existence is cooled down so that one can feel peaceful and calm. And also in the third canto, Lord Kapiladev, he is explaining how one should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, and that the feet of the Lord are like thunderbolts that shatter the mountain of sin that's in the heart. So therefore, Prabhupada says, one should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long time, because the lotus feet of the Lord can destroy the huge amount of material desires that are in all of our hearts. So we have to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, everything about Krishna is very wonderful. But when we see the deity, we're supposed to first look at the feet of the Lord. Prabhupada says that if you don't do like that, you're an impersonalist, because the different features of the body of the Lord, they're all so auspicious that one should appreciate them individually. And so one approaches the feet of a great personality out of humility. So we have to try to pray for the ability to always remember that it's only by the mercy of Krishna that we're able to try to be devotees, because it's so easy for living beings in the material world to forget what life is really all about. So in this material world, we see so many people that are enjoying life in so many different ways, but we know that the enjoyment is so temporary and that it will bring them so much lamentation. So to be a devotee is such a wonderful opportunity to finally finish up our life in the material world, that if we practice Krishna consciousness properly, then we will not have to take birth again. So this is, and Krishna is so kind, because if one is a devotee, he says, even if a devotee commits the most abominable activities, he should still be considered saintly. Because Krishna, he wants us to go back to Godhead. He doesn't want us to remain in the material world. Krishna doesn't want anyone to remain in this material world. He wants everybody to go back to Godhead, because Krishna has created everybody to love him, and for them to be stuck in the material world, that's very sad. Of course, Krishna does not suffer. Krishna never suffers. Krishna is always happy. But the devotees, they feel sorry to see the sufferings of the living entities that are in the material world. And that's why so many great devotees, they perform austerities to relieve the suffering of the living beings, just like Srila Prabhupada. So he didn't have to put himself into a lot of anxiety to try and save the conditioned souls, but he did it because he knew that that would please Krishna, to try to get people out of the material world. So there's a nice verse also in the fifth canto, where the residents of Jambudvip are offering prayers. They say, Svastyasya Vishvasya Kalaprasiditam Jayanti Bhutani Shivam Metodaya Manascha Bhadram Bhajitada Daksha Jay Aveshitam No Matirapi Hoitaki. This means they're saying, may there be good fortune throughout the universe. May all envious persons be pacified by taking up devotional service. Because if they take up devotional service, they will automatically think of each other's welfare, and then the world will become a happy place. But generally in this world, everybody is simply interested in their own happiness. They're not interested in pleasing Krishna. But a devotee knows that the more we try to please Krishna, the more we become happy. And so we want to everybody to take up devotional service. This is the mood of a devotee. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. That Lord Chaitanya, he ordered everybody in the universe, he ordered everybody, that they should preach Krishna consciousness. So in this day and age, because it's the Kali Yuga, and because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga avatar, and he's come to teach us Vairagya Vijaya Nija Bhakti Yoga, he's come to teach us what is real devotion, what is real knowledge. So his example was to go out chanting and dancing and to distribute Krishna consciousness. That was his example. And without doing that, it's very difficult for us to develop love of Krishna. So this is the particular or appropriate method of arousing Krishna consciousness. Just like if you go out in book distribution, you can experience great happiness. It's not that everybody has to go out in book distribution, but if everybody can go out in book distribution, that's very nice, because it's a great austerity for some people. I really enjoy it in certain situations. But generally, if I can go to a place, I mean, it's always good, really. But when you go out and you meet people and you tell them about Krishna, you get so much benefit from doing that, because Krishna is so kind to anybody, especially who tries to revive other people's Krishna consciousness. And sometimes it's very difficult, because especially, you know, where the weather's no good and you go to somewhere like Milton Keynes. God, I remember being in Bolton One time with Shiva Ram Maharaj, we went out on the Christmas marathon together. And my mind was giving me so many problems. It was so difficult. I mean, I didn't stop, but it was difficult. I had to take a long breath. A long break at lunchtime in the freezing cold car. But, you know, you get so much benefit from doing that. So, this is what really pleases the Lord and what pleases Srila Prabhupada. That if we go out, distribute books, or, you know, whatever we do in ISKCON, because Srila Prabhupada explained that whatever you do, the real criterion is how much you love Krishna. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Whether you're dressing the deities, or you're cleaning the floor, or giving the class, you know, somebody who's cleaning the floor could be more advanced than someone who's giving the class. This is a fact. And we've seen many big devotees, sannyasis and GBC, so many people, and they have given up Krishna consciousness. Whereas we've seen so many people who simply were washing the plates of the Lord, but they're still devotees after 40 years. So it's not what you do so much, but because Srila Prabhupada gave us that order to distribute books, it's the austerities you perform. It's actually the difficulties that you go through, the suffering you go through, you could say. Because this was a prayer in the 8th canto that the demigods were glorifying Lord Shiva because he drank the ocean, he drank the poison from the ocean of milk. Was it the ocean of milk or some of it? Anyway, so he drank the poison, and so this very nice verse, Tapyante Lukatapena Sadhava Prayasojana Paramaradhanam Taddi Purushasya Kalatmana. So this verse means that invariably great saints undergo great suffering for the benefit of the general population. And such suffering is considered to be the highest method of worship of the Lord. So when Prabhupada, he suffered the heart attacks, and he was in New York, and it was very difficult, but that was the greatest, highest worship of the Lord, those difficulties. So, and he said, you know, if somebody goes to open a center somewhere, because it's hard, you know, you're stuck out there. I'm not advanced enough, but some devotees have been out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, out in the middle of the concrete jungle in some city, trying to spread Krishna consciousness, opening a temple. Prabhupada said he took the dust of the feet of the devotees who went out to open a temple. This is the way to please the Lord. And so that kind of service automatically pleases Krishna, and Krishna's in your heart. So Krishna takes away your material desires, because he says, Tesham satada yuktanam bhajitam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna's in your heart, and he's enlightening one. And so the more sacrifices we can perform, but it can't be artificial. You know, if we try to eat too little or to be too austere, just put ourselves in a materially, because here it says, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows. So a lot of times austerity is misunderstood, that, you know, just eat peanuts and raisins in the freezing cold for 10 years, and, you know, you got to look after yourself. But we see a lot of devotees, they don't really look after themselves. They try to be too austere. So one time, Srila Prabhupada, he noticed the devotees were coughing, and they were sniveling and sniffing, and he got a little upset with them. He said, "Why aren't you looking after yourselves? You need to get coats and look after yourself." But at the same time, you know, we can't be too comfortable, so we have to have the right balance. So austerities, that's another verse in the, can't remember which canto, where Jad Bharat, Ruhuganai tatta pasani ati na chejiya niva banagrihadva, na chanda sanaiva jalagni surya vina mahat. Anyway, it means that, my dear King Ruhugana, one cannot make progress in spiritual life by executing your vows perfectly as a householder or within the Varnashram system, or by surrounding yourself by fire in the middle of the summer, or by submerging yourself in the freezing water at Gangotri in the middle of the winter. But the only way you can make advancement is to smear the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees on your body or on your head. So this is, we have to please the devotees. And if we can please the devotees and get their blessings, then we can really make advancement. But if you displease the devotees, then your spiritual life will be very difficult. So that was one nice thing that Krishnadas Kaviraj, he said that, "I beg the blessings of the devotees that I may take the dust from their feet." Or he even glorified the readers of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. "I take the dust from anybody who reads the Chaitanya Charitamrita." So this is the humility of a devotee, that a devotee is very humble, and even such a highly advanced personality as Krishnadas Kaviraj, he wants to take the dust of anybody who reads the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's inconceivable. So we have so much knowledge which can change the world. And the world, we can see in the modern age, nobody has any knowledge who's not a devotee. They don't know what they're doing. And this information is so valuable. The Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness is such a perfect way of life that if we can develop the faith to believe in it, and the resolution and determination to stay with it through thick and thin, and especially to preach, Prabhupada says, that if you want to repay me, or if you feel grateful to me, you can only repay me by preaching vigorously like me. So Prabhupada, he showed right until his last moment that he was concerned about the welfare of the living entities in the material world. Because right on his deathbed, he was translating the books. He could hardly talk. He couldn't stand up, but still translating the books. The Brihat Madanga. And we're all getting so much benefit from Srila Prabhupada's austerity. So we should try to follow his example. We can't imitate him. None of us are Srila Prabhupada. That was one of the problems. In the early days, we had some gurus who tried to imitate Prabhupada. Of course, they didn't really know how to be gurus, but they found out how not to be gurus. But, you know, by simply following in Prabhupada's footsteps, by doing following his instructions, we can actually perfect our lives, and the end of this life, we can go back to Godhead. So does anyone have any questions or comments?